Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome in. Hopefully you had a fun and exciting holiday weekend. Perhaps you're sitting in traffic beginning the long, arduous journey home. Well, saddle up. We got 2 hours of auditory goodness setting up week 13 of the National Football League. Some big matchups on the slate as we get ready for the playoff stretch. Can't do it alone. Alongside me, Super Bowl champion, my friend, my colleague, he's my guy, Will Blackman, at Will Blackman on Twitter, at NFL Wine Guy. Happy Thanksgiving belated. How are you, buddy?
I believe the word arduous was on my PSAT exam my junior year in high school. Well done. October test, to be honest.
See, it just kind of flows through. I've been called pretentious in that I try to use big words. They just kind of flow. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm well, though.
Just happens.
I'm well. My holidays were good.
Good? You got enough gluttony?
Yeah, I had like a plate and a half. I kept it chill.
All right. That extra half plate is key.
Yeah, and then went on my sister-in-law's couch, and I was gone.
The naptastrophe got you.
Gone, yeah.
That's it.
I also couldn't watch my friend Matt Ryan get abused anymore. So
it got tough to watch, and I know that's your fantasy quarterback.
No, that's my quarterback,
and that's your guy, period, yeah. But, like, why? I mean, obviously the BC connection, but watching him the other night, that was tough. And the question I asked, and
it's my quarterback.
Yeah, exactly, T.O. But we talk about age. We talk about where guys are in their football lifetimes, right, when we get into it. And certainly when you've got Brady as an outlier sitting there at 42, right, the age always comes into effect. But we seem to forget to age everybody else that's in that middle period, right? Because, I mean, Matt Ryan's in year 11. And a guy that's played many a big down and has had offensive line flow, I think is the kind way to put it in terms of how good they've been year to year. So he's taken a beating at times. You've got the big bookends. Julio Jones was missing from Thanksgiving's game. Calvin Ridley comes up with a 91-yard effort. But with no Austin Hooper, this offense is a shell of what it could be. And he's paid the price for it. So it's one of those where guys start looking a little older, perhaps, for what's around them than where they're at in their own continuum.
Yeah, it's just interesting, though, because, you know, this team was probably one of the, I keep saying it every week, but one of the most confusing teams.
Sure.
To me, you know.
Sure, yeah. I mean, they didn't play defense with the same speed and reckless abandon.
Or the same people. They were missing some guy, you know, especially Keanu Neal. That's a big deal. But, I don't know, man.
He'll live to see another day.
Yeah, he'll live to see another day. And I don't know. It's just weird because then all of a sudden, you know, they went and had those two consecutive victories that was like, hey, what's going on here?
Well, that's just it. You and I had talked about that before last Sunday, and obviously the world changed quite a bit because they've played two games since we last sat down here in the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios to wondering if this team was going to be able to go on a run. And now that's hit with a resounding thud. Likewise, we watch the Dallas Cowboys. And look, the Buffalo Bills are, based on their schedule, people keep pushing them away. Josh Allen's a guy that nobody really has wanted to put their arms around in terms of a quarterback on the rise. Makes some big throws, but got 8 touchdowns now running the football. And he's limiting mistakes. So if you do that and play good defense, to me, that's always just been the equation to win football games. They don't have to be pretty.
Right. Right?
You don't get style points. This isn't impressing the AP back in 1992 when you're Bobby Bowden.
Just in NFL, just win. Just win.
So he went and did that on a big stage. Perhaps people looking at the Bills a little differently after that performance, but certainly more out of the Cowboys locker room. Bennett with the shouting. I mean, he's only been there 2 weeks. And he's the guy leading these shouts.
But he's never been quiet.
No.
On any team he's been on.
Just kind of interesting that the guy that just arrives is the guy that's trying to be the galvanizing force and being that vocal leader. I mean, that's who he is. That's who he's always been.
Out of everybody in that building, I mean, he's probably seen the most recent championship, him and Coach Chris Richard, right?
Sure, in championship Seattle. And just playoff runs in general.
Yeah, so
right?
Like when you see what it looks like, you know, and then it's not what it is. It's kind of, damn, dude, this is different, you know. But I you know, but once again though, it is hard for when a player just gets there, you know. But I think he was there first. I think he was there first and then went to Seattle from, I can't remember, I have to double check that.
Well, because no, his brother, he was brother in was in Dallas.
No, he was in Tampa. Years ago. Yeah.
But yeah, so, but the loss for the Cowboys now opens the door. We'll get into Philly a little later as we preview all the games. And the Bears, with their win over the Lions, buy them or not, they're still sitting at 500 and very much alive as we begin the final month of this regular season. Well, happy holiday weekend to you. We appreciate y'all giving us a few minutes of your time here on Fox Sports Radio. You can always take us with you on the iHeartRadio app, Sirius XM, Channel 83. And then you can find the show on iTunes, see how well or poorly I prognosticated. Will is, as always, on point. Now, let's get into the games because we got a big one to get things started.
Lady, what are you
talking? 49ers at Ravens.
Now we're talking. It's winning time in the National Football League. We talk about the schedule that the Ravens will have to navigate down the stretch here. You've already had the beatdown of the Texans. You had the big win over the Patriots. Now you get the 49ers, Bills, and the resurgent Jets.
Don't forget the beatdown of the Rams.
Well, yeah. I kind of ignore that because I got some stats on Jared Goff that really put things in perspective for where the Rams are right now. But you look at that beatdown. That was merciless. That was the stop the fight, throw the damn towel from Duke in those Rocky movies. But Breida's ruled out. D Ford is out. Dante Pettis out for the 49ers. Ravens come in pretty healthy. As you go through it, everybody questionable but expected to give it a go a little later. Boykin and the members of that tight end trio that they've got that have worked so brilliantly.
Throw away the scripts. Just line up and play backyard football right here.
That's kind of what this is, right? Smash it up and see who comes out on top when it's all said and done. I mean, a veritable Donnybrook ready to go. Over-under sitting at 45.5. Ravens a 5.5-point favorite here at home. Lamar Jackson doing just ridiculous things. I mean, what you watched him toy with that Rams defense in his last outing here on November 25th.
But it's not even so much like, I think we expect it like cool runs. It's more so what's impressive is how he is operating this offense. Situational football, you know, controlling the clock, 2 minute, 4 minute. It's like whatever it is, you know, they didn't punt in 21 straight drives,
right?
Possessions, something,
yeah,
crazy.
I mean,
like
it's ridiculous. The operational efficiency, yeah, at which they're rolling these last, I mean, for the better part of the last month,
right? Not making huge mistakes. Like that is the most impressive thing.
And I think that's the undersold part of this, right? We know the plays Lamar Jackson can make getting out in space with his legs. We know what Mark Ingram can do as a runner. I celebrate his entire catalog, the way he gets after it. And look, the tight end, they've got guys that commit to block.
Right.
Right? Guys that'll, yes, they want their touches and just like any other tight end in the league, but these guys will come back and seal off an edge to get that extra couple of yards and to protect their quarterback. They're doing a good job of that. But Lamar Jackson isn't throwing the ball up haphazard. That's not what you see in this offense. If he's going to take a shot downfield, it's very calculated. All right, I got a good shot, and I'm putting it where only my guy's got a shot at the ball. And I think that's, for a second-year quarterback, I think that's the best thing you can say about what he does. Is he takes care of the football, because that's the difference in winning and losing in the National Football League.
100%. That is the biggest thing. And at the end of the day, if you're scoring points, you're not turning the ball over, you're playing good defense, you got a pretty good chance of doing what you've been doing and blowing teams out.
49ers giving up 4.7 yards per rushing attempt on the year. That's the one place you can go get them. Passing the ball, you know, obviously the front four that we talk about and the rotation that they have, obviously down D Ford today. But again, it's not that Lamar Jackson sits in the pocket. These are usually pretty quick, short, intermediate routes because you're utilizing the tight ends and then occasionally get Andrews up the sideline.
Right.
Or one of your deep threats on occasion. But for the most part, you're working over the middle.
You have the number one rushing offense, you know. So, first and foremost, every single team's opportunity or their thought process is stop the run, which no one has been able to because anyone can run for 100 yards. You know, yes, you're going against a 16th ranked run defense, and you're going to see those linebackers biting a lot because they're going to have to honor that. And hopefully your guys in coverage do their part. So it's interesting, you know. And then you have San Fran with the number three rushing attack going against the Ravens, who have the, I think, number three run defense. So it's, man, it's, I got the Ravens in this one, man. I just right now believe they're hitting on all cylinders, man, and they're by far the most confident, not just team, but confident organization in the NFL.
Yeah, no letdown opportunity. I mean, they get up for every game. I think that's the one thing here is that there's no give, and they recognize that it's still full throttle.
I'm excited!
Because it's one of those games that we're still talking about home field advantage being in flux here in the AFC. Yeah, I think they take care of the game. On the other side, Jimmy Garoppolo, week to week, still trying to figure out exactly what he is. Obviously, George Kittle, whatever they got him doused with the last couple of weeks, he's running on a broken ankle and still dominating down the seam and taking care of business. With Jimmy Garoppolo, I think one thing for the Ravens, also their secondary, playing a lot better than they did the first couple of weeks of the season. They were gettable. Weeks two, week three, all of a sudden Humphrey and these guys, they've gelled. Earl Thomas is commanding a pretty good back line there. How does Jimmy Garoppolo navigate that? You know, Emmanuel Sanders and Kittle are available. Is that enough?
Yeah, I mean, well, right now, what is Jimmy G? He's a quarterback of a 10-1 Niners. That's what he is. So
simply put, the game,
right.
Succeed and proceed. But not today on the road at Baltimore. That's one of the big games on the slate. We're just getting warmed up. Fox Football Sunday. I'm Mike Harmon alongside Super Bowl champ Will Blackman, at Will Blackman, at NFL Wine Guy, where you find him on Twitter. What did you pair with the turkey again?
Pinot Noir, when in doubt.
There you go, because you got a whole month of festivities, leftovers, and more ham, turkey, and other things to eat. You can find me over at Swollen Dome. Thanks for hanging out with us here. We're just getting warmed up. Week 13 on Fox Sports Radio.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome in, Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside Will Blackman having some fun with you. Week 13 of the National Football League. We got three games already in the book. A great slate later on today here in the Geico Studios, enjoying ourselves a little bit of football, if I get the pronunciation correct. We got a couple of games rolling on. We got two games, two matches already underway.
I'm wearing a football hat.
It's a good-looking hat, too.
Well, you know what, though? It's tough. It's Wofford, you know, Premier League team, and they just sacked their manager, Kike Flores. And, you know, when you're dead last in the Premier League with one win.
Got to shuffle it up, right?
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of shuffling, right?
Wow, but that's just it, right? Yeah. It's the that season of unrest.
I went to a Wofford match when I was in the U.K., and it was cool. I went with I got invited by Luther Blissett, who's one of the Wofford legends there.
One of my favorite words in the English language, legends. But were you in the crowd? You know, I mean, just getting after it. Were you doing the chants, or were you bougie?
I was enjoying. You know, I think Elton John's a part owner of that team. I believe.
Is that right?
I think so. Yeah, he has his own little stand there. His name is almost like the Ring of Honor. His name is up there. So it was cool.
I feel like we need to figure out that connection.
Yeah, I believe it is. I'm like 100%, like 99.9% sure.
All right, we'll have to look on the next.
Rocket Man!
Nicely done. On the next part of his tour, he's doing a lot in Europe. So maybe that's it. We jump back across the pond and maybe we do a live remote ahead of an Elton John show. I think that would be something special for here at Fox Sports Radio. But our game today, week 13 of the National Football League, we're coming to you from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. And you can use that 15% this holiday time. Go to geico.com to get your free rate quote. And just like that, Norwich City with a goal over Arsenal. 1-0, 21 minutes in. How about that? 1-0.
I do know the real owners, though, of Wofford. I know the Pozzo family very well.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right, so are we going to become the official show of Wofford here stateside? All of a sudden, we're dressed in kits as we do the show?
But I've yet to adopt a team. Everyone's trying to have me adopt Liverpool, but I feel like, man, they're the best team right now. I can't just go to the best team. That's like, come on now.
It's like being a Cowboys or 49ers fan if you're my age, as I'm a little older than you. The fact that they were the national game every Sunday afternoon. You'd get your local team.
Right, right.
And then you'd get the 49ers. So you see an awful lot of Cowboy fans growing up, I never did.
Like, I always, you know, root for, like, bet for the Cowboys when I was, I would bet my grandpa when I was a kid, like, $20. And I always bet for the Cowboys. But I never became a Cowboy fan.
Well, but if it was a good bet, it was a good bet. I mean, you gotta lean with your gut and with your football knowledge. All right, let's get back into the games.
Lady, what are you talking?
Jets and Bengals.
The Jets on a 3-game winning streak. Sam Darnold during this time, 65% completion rate, 7 touchdowns, almost 900 yards passing, getting it done. On the other side, we've got the Bengals, and Andy Dalton has been resurrected.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's going on here.
You moved to Finley, in theory, to give him a half a year to see what he's all about. I don't understand the move to go back to Andy Dalton. We know what Andy Dalton is. You screwed him over and you didn't trade him, right? You didn't test the market, whatever the deal was. A.J. Green's still out.
I think it's like he's coming back. You know, it's like, well, if I'm coming back this year, just let me get more reps in this new offense and try to get it right.
Yeah, I mean, that was the question, right? Is Andy Dalton done there? He could be one of the veterans in the wheel quarterback carousel as we get into the offseason. But the Jets rolling of late, finally getting the ball in the Le'Veon Bell's hands with more regularity, something good for fantasy owners and for the Jets in general. But now they're screwing up their draft position, and they might be just good enough here. Not necessarily that they're going to go on a big run, but now they find themselves in the middle of the first round when you get into the 2020 NFL draft. My gut says they stumble here in Cincinnati. That no matter how inept and terrible this team has been, that the Jets are getting a little chesty after three wins. Their fans are
You say the Jets stumble.
That the Jets stumble on the road.
I don't know.
That this is,
man.
Andy Dalton, salty Andy Dalton, just comes out slinging. Because what else does he have to lose? Nothing.
That's. I mean, I think he's still. He has a lot to lose. Actually, it's a different situation. You look at like the Titans. Like Tannehill has nothing to lose because he came in taking over for Mariota.
Where
this is Andy Dalton's team. He has a lot to lose, and he's probably going to lose to the Jets because this is a motivated defense.
They played really well the last few weeks.
They're playing inspired, man.
Jamal Adams, I think, proving to folks beyond all the one-liners that we had early in the season, but proving how good he is.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that, though.
I think nationally.
But he proved last year. He was a second-team All-Pro, I believe it was.
Oh, but, Will, it was the Jets. They were just a punchline. Nobody was talking about Jamal Adams.
No, but
he still
played well, regardless. Sure. To get any kind of award or accolade on a team that's not doing well, you know, usually that doesn't happen.
All right, well, I'm going to take the Bengals at home just because, I need to see Jason Smith sad again. He's been too happy the last 3 weeks.
No.
That's less
of a
football
life. I was with Jason McIntyre the other day, and he was excited, too. He wore Jets colors
every
day. Oh,
no, that's right. Yeah, Jets fan as well. Yeah, so we both have that. No, I think the Jets win the game, but I just like chaos, and I think Andy Dalton coming back in and winning a game would do that. For the Jets, I think it would create way too much hope, and Adam Gase, they've already said they're sticking around with him for 2020, and they've rallied these last couple of weeks, and the schedule kind once again today. Next!
Lady, what are you talking about?
Raiders and Chiefs.
Speaking of the Jets.
The Chefs.
They go out last week and get absolutely dominated by the Jets. The Raiders, we were getting excited. They were the number 6 seed in the playoff race going into last week's game and go out and get absolutely buried. And now you look at the Chiefs, no run game. They're still an 11-point favorite for this one. So showing how quickly that love and respect for what the Raiders had built dissipated. Just like that.
Yeah, I mean, when you have the 27th ranked secondary, somewhere down there.
Yep, you can go and just beat these guys downfield. And you look at Mecole Hardman alongside Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
I mean,
big plays all
that
around.
That is, speaking of the Olympics coming up next year, that is a fantastic 4x1 team if you add whoever else in that group.
Right, you got the offensive line finally healthy.
Yeah.
So Patrick Mahomes, another week removed from his injury, should be able to sit in the pocket. You're not getting a lot of pass rush coming off of that front four.
And they've been managing Shady pretty well, too. You know, sometimes he's a healthy scratch just to get his body healthy. And, you know, that's Andy Reid's boy.
Yeah, still waiting to see that run game come together. But if you can get him back in the passing game as well, kind of shuffles up what linebackers have to do and how you try to defend this team. I'll take the Chiefs big in this game. I think they blow them out.
Yeah, I got the Chiefs too. By the way, Aubameyang denied the penalty kick.
I missed a penalty kick. I'm too busy looking over and
no, you're good.
No, what penalty kicks are exciting.
Well, he gets another try. I think somebody was offside.
Oh, okay.
Anyhow,
well, there you go. We'll get back into that momentarily. Next! Lady, what is that?
Redskins and Panthers.
Hey, you're getting those live, up-to-the-minute Premier League updates here on the show as we roll as well. The Washington Redskins last week, they get the victory. Dwayne Haskins couldn't be found for victory formation. A lot made of it. I shrugged and said they won the game. I don't care if they sent the backup punter to kneel down. It's done. It's a final for him. A very big win, given the week before we were watching him plead to his offensive line about communication and what he could do to help them and help their job, etc. They go out and get a victory, but now they're on the road at Carolina, a team that just won't go away.
Right.
When you look at Kyle Allen and what this team has been throughout the course of the season, obviously Christian McCaffrey, World League, you know, kind of numbers, but DJ Moore has become far more of an option downfield after a quiet start to the season. So being able to go vertical and against this Washington secondary would appear that Allen's in line for another big day.
Yeah, him, especially because he's not going to have Ryan Kerrigan breathing down his neck, even though, you know, Ryan only has about 4.5 sacks still. He was one of the main consistent guys. He had 139 starts, and I think he's out due to a concussion, so that's going to be a big deal.
We're seeing all those big streaks end this year, Will.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right, 139, 200 here. I mean, Matt Ryan had a monstrous run
Right.
before he went down, but look at Kerrigan, concussion protocol. And it's interesting because we see, and obviously no concussions are not the same, but we see guys that you from the appearances, like, wow, how's he back on the field for the next defensive series, and others that linger for weeks.
Yeah, and also, I don't know the severity of this concussion, because it could be where it's like, okay, man, the season's pretty much a wrap, so, you know, no sense of you, even if you do pass the protocol to go out there. I definitely see this being a massive McCaffrey game. You know, Panthers at home. Redskins barely won last week had they not had that kick return for a touchdown. So I'm going Panthers here.
All right, we'll take the Panthers. Panthers giving 10. I'll actually lay the points as well. We're going big game hunting with another double-digit spread victory back-to-back for me there with the Chiefs as well. Coming up next, rookie taking over and a veteran quarterback trying to find himself some redemption a mile high. But first, we're going to go over to Isaac Lowenkron, who's going to update us on what's trending here in our sporting universe. What's up, Ilo?
Good morning, Michael and Will. Adam Schefter reporting that the 49ers will hold out running back Matt Breida today against the Baltimore Ravens because of his sprained ankle. Ravens are 5.5-point favorites for that one, according to pregame.com. NFL media reporting that rookie second-round pick Drew Lock will get the start at quarterback today for the Denver Broncos against the Chargers. He had been on injured reserve all season because of a injury to his thumb sustained in the preseason. The Chargers are 3.5-point favorites for that game at Denver. In college football, Yahoo Sports reports that Rutgers has agreed in principle to hire Greg Schiano for his second go-around as their head coach. He was previously their head coach from 2001 through 2011. While on the field yesterday in the Iron Bowl, 15th-ranked Auburn toppled number 5 Alabama 48-45. And in the NBA Saturday, James Harden scored 60 points in the Rockets' 158-111 victory over the Atlanta Hawks. But get this, Harden scored his 60 points in just 31 minutes on just 24 field goal attempts, and he joined Klay Thompson and Kobe Bryant as the only players in the last 25 years to score 60 points in just three quarters of work. Michael and Will, all yours.
Didn't you want to just see him keep shooting? Thanks, Ilo. Man, let's see how many points you can put up.
Always.
I mean, sits down after 31 minutes.
That was a great
put on a show.
It was a good day. He did.
But keep going. Come on. We're talking history.
I mean, he scored 158 points as a team.
Let's go for two.
Sure.
Why not?
I don't know.
Because it's November or now December 1st.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want 62 and then or 60 and then roll an ankle.
There's always the rolled ankle or the elbow to go flying into the third
exactly.
deck.
Exactly. We don't need that.
We always have to be aware of that. We're coming to you live from the Geico Studios. Thanks for hanging out with us. You can call 1-800-947-AUTO or go to geico.com. Find out how you could save 15% or more on your auto insurance. The only hard part is figuring out which way is easier. Will Blackman, Super Bowl champion, NFL vet with me at Will Blackman at NFL Wine Guy on Twitter. And you can find me over at Swollen Dome. I'm having some fun with you, chopping up week 13 of the NFL.
And? CIF, Southern Section, Division IV champions. Yes, San Juan Hills High School. Got it done last night. We beat Loyola and Loyola.
Nicely done. And you come in a champion. See, I knew you were walking with a little extra swagger and bounce in your step.
No, same swagger every Sunday. Same bounce every Sunday. Same energy drink.
Well, trying to
Sunday.
Be consistent. Yeah, of course, consistency is the key. There's no question. But, you know, that smile of I'm also another champ. I mean, another championship, another chip is always a
that
good thing.
That smile is I'm back on my guy Mike, man. That's
aw, thanks, man.
Yeah, bro.
I appreciate you.
All right, let's move on.
All right, let's get it. Brady, what are you talking
about? Chargers and Broncos.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. Drew Locke getting himself a start. And what does he get as a welcoming gift? He gets Derwin James and Adrian Phillips back.
Yes.
So that run game that you were hoping with Phillip Lindsay, that's gone.
That's good, though.
So now it's all on Drew Locke's arm.
Yeah, boy, he's healthy. Put him out there. Second round pick, he has to play.
Curious to see what they have, right?
I'm
the plan
so curious.
In place, right? You watched Brandon Allen, you watched Joe Flacco be immobile, and now you move into the next phase, and Drew Locke's going to get his start against the Chargers team coming out of a bye week. Phillip Rivers, the last time we saw him, was awful.
I know.
There's no two ways about it. Talk about age, you know, and that cliff coming at you fast. Even with all those weapons, just wondering why this doesn't click. Where's the difference? Keenan Allen, when they last played, that was his first touchdown reception since week 3.
That's crazy.
Think about how much he is a part of that offense and how often he touches the ball. Yet he hadn't scored since week 3. So now we're talking about him and Mike Williams, Hunter Henry, Melvin Gordon had finally started to become Melvin Gordon again, Austin Eckler. You've got weapons galore, and yet just so confusing. This is another one of those teams that week to week, you just have no idea what you're going to get.
Yeah, you know what, though? I think we get some good things from Drew Locke where it's like, okay, we see some promising things here, but I think the effect of the return of Derwin James is going to be massive, and he's going to be the difference maker in this game. So I'm going with the Chargers on the road.
See, one of the things, when we brought up the Jets earlier and talking about Jamal Adams and
it's
great players
too.
on a bad team, I mean, Cortland Sutton is a guy I think folks will start paying attention to at some point.
Well, he made them comfortable to move on from Demaryius Thomas, you know. That's usually how it is. You get something and you kind of see during training camp, okay, confirmed. Now we can move on.
We roll on, and he is the number one. Noah Fant, young quarterback. His best friend is his tight end,
yep.
So expect to see a lot of Noah Fant a little later. Yeah, I'm going to take the Chargers on the road, looking for Phillip Rivers to solve that defense. That Fangio's got them playing better of late as well. A big game for the Chargers here as we roll into December. Next!
Lady, what are you talking
about? Buccaneers and Jaguars.
The oft enigmatic and curious Jameis Winston and that offense rolling up. Jaguars missing a couple members of the secondary. Miles Jack also with a knee injury may not be able to go. And this one for the Buccaneers. Godwin, Evans, pick your poison. One of them's having a big day on you. It's just a matter of which. Unless Jameis Winston's serving up gifts to the opponent, which is always a possibility. Buccaneers, a 2.5-point road favorite here. And you look at what the Jaguars are. It's DJ Chark is the bulk of their passing offense. Nick Foles, trying to find some magic. Should be able to have make some hay against this Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary. But this is one of the games where it's one of 256. Still an audition for both of these guys, right? Because, you know, I mean, look, Foles is only on a two-year deal. You got Gardner Minshew there. And then you look at Jameis Winston. He's in the final year of his rookie deal. And while Bruce Arians may love him, maybe management doesn't and decides to roll the dice that they can go find else. But you've got enough weapons here. I just don't see Jacksonville being able to contain those guys on the outside.
Well, it's going to be interesting. It's supposed to be some scattered thunderstorms, right? I think so in Jacksonville.
Knock it down a little bit.
Yeah, so a little
Let's
windy.
Bring up my NFL weather site while we're at it.
A little windy, I think. I believe that's what we're getting. So I don't know. It's might be a tropical storm from Jameis.
I like that. Tropical storm Jameis. In that week to week, we don't.
I honestly don't know who to pick in this game.
It's one of those more curious games of just grab some popcorn. 16-mile-an-hour winds out of the southwest later today. Partly sunny. Rain possible, but not probable as of now. Weather for the most part.
I trust Fournette.
Leonard Fournette's going to be the difference maker here.
The difference maker.
Look at that. He's taking Jacksonville. Look,
I didn't say that. I just said I trust him.
Oh, you trust him. Okay. I was just trying to interpret what you were giving me there. Okay. So you've got Leonard Fournette, the stabilizing force in things.
Well, I like the Bucks throwing the ball, two receivers, getting it done. Let's go Bucks.
Great. O.J. Howard mixed therein. Yeah, I mean, you got enough. Too much offensive weaponry against a banged-up secondary for Jacksonville. Hey, coming up next, we've got a game of games. Monday Night Football MVP candidates collide. Will one of the big playmakers be back on the field? We'll discuss that coming up next. It's Fox Football Sunday. I'm Mike Harmon. He's Will Blackman. Stay with us. Week 13, NFL.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday, week 13 of the National Football League. And yes, the holiday music has begun. Welcome back, holidays. Don't stress, folks. We got you covered here on the NFL side. Get plenty of action and certainly for your listening enjoyment. We will not do chipmunk impressions this morning.
Well, yes, because I clearly in my household I have been chipwrecked because that's all my kids watch.
Chipwrecked. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I've been chipwrecked.
Seen that one a few times now.
I've seen it every day this week.
Ooh.
Actually, once a day, once a week for the past year.
So you've got it all memorized. We could do
not at all.
Dramatic.
Not at all. When they do that, that's my cue to go and do some work.
Dad's gonna do some work. Dad's gonna go do some research. Dad's gonna come up with the next iteration of NFL Wine Guy at NFL Wine Guy, where you can find Will as well as Will Blackman on Twitter, Instagram. Find me over at Swollen Dome as we come to you live from the Geico Studios. Thanks for hanging out with us. Always take us with you on the iHeartRadio app. Keep us close to the vest and evangelize to friends and family as you see them. It's a good thing around the table. You know, debate sports a little bit instead of some of the other family nonsense or hearing Uncle Jimmy tell you that story for the thousandth time. We'll probably give you a few more laughs along the way. Let's get into one of the bigger games of this Week 13 slate with some big questions.
Lady, what are you
Vikings at Seahawks.
This is it.
Now Kirk. We're talking, right? Captain Kirk Cousins.
This is it, Kirk.
21 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He and Dalvin Cook. Stephon Diggs getting after it. Adam Thielen going to try to give it a go. Still no
whatever.
Guarantee.
Don't care who's playing. We Kirk, this is it. Prime time in Seattle versus Russell, who rarely loses at home. This is Russell. This is Kirk Cousins. Gannicus in the arena from Spartacus.
Look at you.
Last man standing. Get it done, Kirk.
So I'll make sure to have my thumbs up or thumbs down ready for the night.
There's no need thumbs up, thumb down, because he's going to be the only man standing in the arena putting his name in that MVP race after
Monday night.
I like that bold proclamation. Seattle, fifth most passing yards allowed, but just 13 touchdowns against 10 interceptions on the year. So, yeah, you can move the ball on them, but they stiffen up in the red zone. We've seen that over the course of the year for the Minnesota Vikings. Pass rush has always been first and foremost what they bring to the table. You're looking at a team that, for their secondary, as leaky as it's been at times, again, just middle of the pack when you get down to it. They have given up 19 passing touchdowns on the year as well. Russell Wilson lost one of his big breakout stars when you lost Hollister to injury. Will Disley went down. Hollister missed part of the last game, so you're trying to figure out whether
and Russell still wins.
Back. Well, that's what he does.
You can have
right?
all these stats, all of these injuries, players leaving, reset, all this stuff, and Russell is the constant.
He is a stabilizing force when it comes down to it, right? No matter what you put out in front of him in his offensive line, no matter the weapons, thought there'd be a little bit of a drop-off with the loss of security blanket Doug Baldwin. That hasn't been the case. If nothing else, you went and found more options for you when you look at what Metcalf has become. Far better, I think, than most thought, right? The coming out of the draft, it was straight line runner and a physical specimen.
Yeah, but a lot there's a huge difference though when you go to a team with a quarterback like Russell. You know, there has been a lot of careers that have been I guess, how can I say this, that have gone well because they've been in great situations. There have been really good receivers that have not gone to great situations that have not succeeded. You know,
well, but that's the name of the game, right? Is what coach and what offense do you get put into?
Yeah.
Who knows how to utilize you best? And we see that with quarterbacks all the time. You got hundreds of guys like, well, what might have been if they'd actually gone someplace?
Yeah, like
with some stability.
Right, there
right?
are a lot, like several receivers left New England, did not show up. You
this
know,
is absolutely
Wes
true.
Walker was smart. He went with Payton.
Right. Stick with a guy where that was his MO to run the similar
yeah.
scrape across the middle,
absolutely.
Same check,
you know,
and work the entirety of the field, right? A couple of potential defensive absences here. Kendricks, Clowney, the core injury. Core injury is the 2019 injury, by the way.
Yeah, which is funny because, like, apparently all the whole performance training and all that stuff is about the core. Like, everyone's so focused on core.
And yet we're seeing that injury listed far more frequently than we ever have before.
Kurt's going to take it to the core, and Kurt's going to get it done.
Way to bring it back. Seahawks, 3-point favorites in this one. I do like the Vikings. I just think there's enough.
Do you really?
With this. I do. I do.
You sound
part
so
part of it is jumping
reserved.
On your back. Well, I didn't want to scream.
You need
blow
to
out
scream.
The speakers.
I was going to say, I need a little more energy.
I got my energy.
Morning.
Come on now.
I know it's only the first hour.
Modulate.
But
you know,
I
mean, look, people are having their morning coffee. We can't be screamers. I mean, we got guys around here that do 3 hours of screaming, and there's no sense of urgency to any of it because they scream the whole time.
All right.
I'm trying to pace myself.
I get it.
Right? For full excitement, because this is a game where we talked about
I get it,
a couple
Mike.
A little earlier, Will, that you're just wondering what
I
you're
get
going
it,
to see.
And the viewers get it.
I'm hoping
you
for
don't
Kirk
need to
Cousins.
Over-explain. Who do you got?
I'm taking the Vikings on the road.
All right, cool.
So we'll agree on that one. I want to go back to something that happened with the Bears while we got a minute here at the end of hour one. We'll get back into the games coming up about 10 minutes from now. Akeem Hicks goes on ESPN 1000 in Chicago and in talking about the way things have gone for the Bears this year, a lot of uncertainty, distractions, and certainly from a media, like normally you get a lot of love if you win, but in Chicago you'll get beat up fairly quickly. Tom Waddle, former NFL player, made a joke after Hicks' impassioned plea of, look, we're not trying to screw this thing up. We're working to get
right.
this right. And he goes, well, sure, you didn't mean to get your arm jammed up in between two Raiders in London to miss time. And the tone, though sarcastic, just like in texts, and for all of you out there, there's texting 101 or social media 101, sarcasm doesn't read. Sometimes doesn't play on the radio either. He promptly hung up. What's the worst media experience from your playing career where you either had to smile and say next question or where you got to fire back at a guy?
I never fired back, really.
No?
No. I either took their question and changed it or, you know, I kind of read guys. I never really let an analyst get the best of me, you know. Actually, you know what I did? I did call somebody out via social media. I forget his name, but he was saying that if I got signed to the Raiders, there'd be no chance I see the field. So I'm like, dude, is that supposed to be like...
What is that?
What are we doing here? He goes, oh, I didn't think you would see it or say anything. I'm like, of course I would see it.
Yeah, but why would you text that anyway?
I don't know.
That's silly. Just like Jim Harbaugh, the guy asked a question. Define what the difference is between Ohio State and Michigan. Don't look for the negative angle. At Will Blackman's where you find him on Twitter, at NFL Wine Guy. You find me over at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, we'll get into the Sunday Night Football extravaganza. Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson, and you. We'll talk about it next here on Fox.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome in hour two of the program. Week 13 of the NFL slate is in our purview. That's the word of the week brought to you by Jerry Jones when he was talking about his role as GM and everything with the Dallas Cowboys coming off of their huge loss on Thanksgiving night. So we celebrate the chaos in Big D. I'm Mike Garvin alongside Will Blackman, ready to get into the playoff stretch. December 1st means we've got one more month of glorious NFL action. No bye weeks. We do have a little bit of weather in effect on the East Coast. We've got mid-40s and rain for Baltimore and the 49ers a little later on today. And obviously Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Round two comes up as well. So you have rain there. The Giants also hosting a game. It's going to be cold, but not necessarily any precipitation in the mix. Will, as you go through an NFL slate and your training sessions and just game plan and game prep, when you know there's going to be weather, what do teams do? I mean, what's the different mechanisms by which to get ready for a game where you know there's going to be some precipitation perhaps in the mix?
Yeah, well, you try to mimic the situation if possible. You know, if you know it's going to be really cold. For example, in Green Bay, during this time of year, obviously it gets cold. Say if it's snowing or the ground is a brick, then you're not able to get some quality work in. So sometimes we'll go inside the facility but leave the doors open. So that it
still get the temp in.
That is still okay. It gets very, very cold. Or if we know, you know, there's going to be some rain. There's, you know, I'm sure you've heard of it. Coaches will dunk the football in water and stuff like that. So you try to create situations to get your team prepared. But then there are some times where you won't be able to prepare for it. One time we went to play the Bears in 2007. And we landed in Chicago, and it was, you know, it was really cold. It was like -2, you know, but there was no wind. And as you know, in the Midwest, as long as the wind is not blowing, it's manageable.
It's cold, but you get through it.
Yeah, it's manageable. So
just layer up and be ready.
Remember, that was Saturday. -2, not much wind, really cold. Day of the game, it was about -12, something like that. But 60 miles an hour wind.
Cut you through the bone.
60 miles an hour wind.
And you're
wind.
Not sitting there with the extra layers of fat like the guy in the 300 level.
And he's freezing too.
Well, sure, because he's not moving.
And it was in Chicago, so you know off the lake, it's ridiculous. And I saw people in the stands with the beer in their hands and literally dumping out beer blocks, iced beer blocks out of their cups. It was ridiculously cold. It was that was the first time I seen Brett Favre concerned about the weather, and I couldn't believe it. Now
after a long career, and I mean, you talk about starts and everything. Well, when he's got weather.
Well,
on
the worst
brain.
Part about it is that we already won a division. We already had the first round bye. We did not need this game. However, it was versus the Bears.
So you still needed the game.
technically it was like, well, we can't just chill and put our back because it's the Bears. We got to beat the Bears, you know, and then we end up getting our butts handed to us. But it was all good. I couldn't feel my fingers for a good 4 months. And that's not kidding.
No kidding.
Not kidding. The wow. tip of my fingers for like 4 months. It was that cold.
How about that?
I know.
Well, full function now as we sit here in the Geico studios. I don't know what they do to help the facilitation of a radio show, but we're glad we've got the full feeling back. Thanks for that. Always looking for to glean the insights of a guy that played in the league as you did for so many years. We come in to you from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Go to geico.com, get yourself a free rate quote. As you've heard in the updates also, Matt Breida not going to go today, talking about weather and the conditions and knowing they need him for a stretch run. Make sure he's ready for those final weeks and for the playoffs. But we have a big game on Sunday Night Football to get into. Let's get at it.
Lady, what did you say?
Patriots and Texans.
All right, Patriots, a 3-point favorite on the road. The much maligned Patriots offense still moves the ball efficiently. Tom Brady still 3 touchdowns per interception, still at about 3,000 yards on the season. Just because it's not the college football, let's put up 50 a week numbers. People terribly concerned. It's like you play defense, you run the ball enough, you make enough plays. I don't see where the problem is, but certainly you'd love to be able to get into track meets if necessary, and I think that's one thing. But you're not going to necessarily ever have that against the teams of the AFC. We saw it against Baltimore a couple of weeks ago. Right. Some of that, and there were drives. I was convinced in the second half, Belichick's mantra was just, hey, let's make the drive an 8 or 9 play drive so they have to show us more looks. We know we're going to lose this game. We're not making a historic comeback here, so let's just get as much film as we can and we move on. Here against Houston, an offense that is always explosive, but when Will Fuller is on the field, Will, I mean, that's just a different complexion and really opens up the game for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, you know, and I'm excited for this game. I remember, I believe it was last year, week 1, you know, when Deshaun went to New England and almost took down Brady and the Patriots. It came down to the end. Deshaun Watson had the ball at the end and incomplete pass, you know, with 5 seconds left. He almost went there and took him out. So this is really good for him to get Tom Brady and the Patriots in his hometown, the home team, and I don't know. It'd be interesting. I just feel like right now it's kind of like the Russell Wilson effect, how effective he is for his team. Like, if you really want to pick like an MVP, like I believe he is probably top 2 most valuable players to his team. But there's still so much uncertainty around him. You just don't know. You don't know what the O-line is going to do. You know, you don't know the health of certain guys. You just don't know. And he's playing against a team where you do know what's going to happen, especially defensively.
Tytus Howard, done knee injury, will not be available to the Texans. The Patriots listed 17 guys as questionable.
Yes, my games.
It's December 1st, so no
surprise. What's wrong with you? Your fingernail hurts? Put him on the list.
But he's on. Hey, you know what? We're adhering to the NFL's policy. Hey. He's injured. Right? What a scam that is. But that's a whole other thing. Always in place for the gamblers, and then every once in a while they take it seriously around the league offices, unless they don't. We've seen both these teams shellacked by the Ravens last week. A gutty win in that Thursday night affair for Houston against Indianapolis in a division battle. But we look at the Patriots, and their hallmark this year has been their defense. And being the matchup on the outside. So the idea that they'll do their best to eliminate DeAndre Hopkins, limit his potential in this matchup, maybe leading with the safety shading his way that Will Fuller can maybe win a one-on-one matchup downfield. Is that how you would approach this, or do you try to find one of those tight ends over the middle?
Well, I mean, you won't really need to shade because you have arguably the best cornerback in Stephon Gilmore, who limited Amari Cooper to 0 catches.
A disappearing act. Yeah. No question.
So, I mean, I think you let him work. You let him work. And then if you need to make adjustments, which, you know, New England's known for being the team that makes the best adjustments at halftime, then so be it. You know, you find out. And if Gilmore is playing hot and he's good to go, then, you know, that's going to be a big deal for you. Obviously, you know, you still want to be able to stop the run. Carlos Hyde is very capable. But, yeah, just offensively, you're just not sure. And usually when I look at matchups, I look at, you know, offense versus defense, certain sides. It's like New England, they're capable, but once you don't know. But I feel like they're just going to come out and run the ball very well. And I just trust the Patriots defense. You know, they've been doing well all year for the most part.
N'Keal Harry back for the Patriots, adding a little extra element. Jacoby Myers, a couple of rookies making an impact for this team down the stretch alongside Philip Dorsett. He's healthy. And Edelman looking for New England to roll up in this one. I think on the road, they get a hard-fought win. But would Stephon Gilmore be a guy? You know, we talk MVP, and it's been a week-to-week MVP consideration. I don't know that we've ever really had the MVP broken down like we have it here in 2019. This guy's the MVP. No, this guy's. And it's become a week-to-week kind of consideration. When we look at what this New England defense has done, particularly Gilmore and his work on the outside, is that the kind of thing where we can, even though you can't necessarily put great stats to it, which is always the dangerous thing in these games, but when you can't put a ton of stats, can we still make the argument that we pick someone from such a dominant unit?
That's tough because you do need the numbers, and I believe not many cornerbacks have won not only MVP but a defense player of the year. You know, the last two I can think of was Charles Woodson and Deion Sanders, who you know, put together great campaigns to win that award.
Sure. And that's that we're talking about a minute. Otherwise we're looking at guys that are in that 15 to 20 sack range and
right.
Highlight real kind of
right, exactly. You truly have to change the entire game. And I remember playing with Charles Woodson that year. He won Defense Player of the Year. I mean, he was scoring touchdowns. He either got a pick, he got a sack, he did something that literally changed the game and gave the football back to. Like, he had 9 interceptions alone, you know, and a bunch of, you know, sacks and touch, like, did everything to help us. So, yeah, he's gonna have to do something in that regards, but. Him, you know, being first team all pro and that stuff, definitely consideration, but he won't win the award.
All right, I'll take the Patriots on the road.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll roll on with that. Coming up next, we've got one of the intriguing games. Actually, well, all three of them are intriguing for different ways in this next block that we're going to do. One, a quarterback who hasn't thrown a touchdown pass his last three games. We've got the battle part two in Pittsburgh. And then, well, can the Eagles find themselves back into the East race with a big win today? We'll get into that and so much more. Week 13 coming up here on Fox Football Sunday.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back in Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon, Will Blackman with you, setting up Week 13 of this National Football League schedule.
Beats, man.
Heat! Getting all excited, getting revved up. Holiday season is underway. I know you already have your tree and decorations up. I got to work on that this week. That's part of the post-Thanksgiving gluttony for me. Work off a couple of calories, dragging around a big-ass tree and getting that all in its proper place and time. Happy holidays to you all out there. Welcome to December. Whether you're if you're coming back from travels, be safe out there. Take your extra time and just sit back and enjoy the listening here on Fox Sports Radio. Great news. There's a quick and easy way you could save money, too. Switch to Geico. It only takes 15 minutes to see if you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. You can go to geico.com, see how much you could save. Hey, every little bit helps here in the holiday campaign. He's Will Blackman. I'm Mike Harmon. Thanks for hanging out with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's get back into the games.
Lady, what do you think?
Rams and Cardinals.
All right, for the Rams, couple of, one injury note and one stat note. Gerald Everett is out. Tyler Higbee, your next man up for fantasy purposes, go find him. The Cardinals have given up 12 touchdown receptions to opposing tight ends on the year, giving up 21 fantasy points per game
however,
to the position. However. Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm listening. However, and I know there was like a but or however. They've been giving up TDs, but what about?
Yeah, Jared Goff doesn't throw TDs. He's through three straight games without one. Think about that. I mean, he had the near miss against the Bears, right, where Cooper Kupp goes out at the 1 yard line, so, and then he juggles the ball, so they run it in.
And the callback.
They had one callback, right?
To Reynolds,
yep,
I think it was.
Yep, to Josh Reynolds, coming on a sweeping pattern. We talked about that a little bit last week.
And Lenore Higby.
Nicely done. I did a church and was buried. We'll have to come up with the full parody
I was just in England, so, you know.
Nicely done.
There you go.
I like that. All right, Cardinals on the other side. You've got Kyler Murray, who is on the injury report with a hammy, but fully expected to
get
go
some grass
in this one.
Get some Graston. That helps the hammy immediately.
I don't know what Graston is.
It's almost
Graston.
Like taking a butter knife and like scraping your hamstring.
Interesting.
With the backside, not the sharp side, the dull side. All right.
Either way, I dig that. I'm going to have to figure that one out for all the, you know, hamstring injuries, you know, big, bulky, fat guys like me.
Take it easy.
By the way, hey, you know what? Sometimes you just got to give yourself the hard medicine.
No, you don't.
And get
no, you
back
don't.
At it.
But no, you don't. We're positive here.
No, I'm positive because it is not part of the training.
All right, come on.
It is part of the road to swole, is that you're going to have your pulls and you're going to have your grunts. Along the way, I'm taking the Cardinals to win this game.
Whoa. Hold on.
How about that?
Not at all. I'm taking L.A.
No one's like
blocking. Yeah, no one's blocking Aaron Donald today.
But Kyler Murray can run for his life.
He can run for his life. He's going to have to.
Rams only a 3-point favorite on the road. Offensive woes being the big thing.
I got one personal foul from Jalen. He might suplex Kyler Murray.
So you'll take the over. If we set it at a half, you're taking the over.
Yes.
In that one. Certainly the frustrations last week as we watched the Ravens do whatever they wanted to that defense, Jalen Ramsey or not. But obviously a different offense, right, where you're not running the same type of offense traditionally where we get into these one-on-one battles downfield, whereas if you're a Christian Kirk fantasy owner, you're probably not loving life, as you'll probably see an awful lot of Jalen Ramsey a little later on today. But with Kyler Murray, we've seen a guy evolving. We're talking about rookie and second-year quarterbacks a lot, Will, this year, as the position overall in flux. We've got a lot of elder statesmen and some of those guys running at the back end of their rookie deals where we're shuffling up and dealing as we've got a couple of other rookies ready to make their mark in the 2020 draft. But for Kyler Murray, some growing pains. I mean, David Johnson, not the player that he was. So Edmonds and Kenyon Drake, who they traded for, will have to step up in this spot against the Rams. Just not trusting the Los Angeles offense right now to generate much.
I get that. I understand that.
Todd Gurley has had a couple of big moments, but not full games. Like, we just haven't seen him, you know, even against Chicago a couple of weeks ago. Had a couple of big runs early, and then there were some questionable marks, at least from where I'm sitting, going, you're running the ball at 7, 8, 9 yards a clip against the Bears, and then you take the ball out of Gurley's hands and say, all right, it's Jared Goff's turn. It's almost like we're playing peewee football, and it's like, all right, now we've got to shuffle someone else in so he gets his touches. It's like, no, if something's working in the NFL, generally you stick with it. So I don't know if it's just a, all right, we know we've only got 15 carries out of him max or what the deal is, but certainly they still don't seem to have that confidence in that run game. And
no,
obviously the offensive line's struggling.
I get
well.
It, though. You know, it's, you know, you don't want to go away from what your identity is, but you do have to make adjustments in that regard. So hopefully they make that adjustment. It should be a Todd Gurley game, Aaron Donald game. I got the Rams.
He's got the Rams on the road. I'm taking Arizona in the upset again because, you know, things, dumpsters will be on fire here in Los Angeles should they lose this one. Next!
Lady, what is that?
Browns at Steelers.
All right, much being made about the fact that Freddie Kitchens was spotted in a Pittsburgh Started It shirt. I think you're reaching if you're trying to make that a big sticking point
for me. Yeah, no, that is not a big deal.
It's a T-shirt, tongue-in-cheek, whatever.
They just started.
Well, in the end, right? We talked about it last week with Mason Rudolph. But they'll be without Garrett, without Randall in the secondary for the Browns. You've got the Duck Dodgers. All right. Devlin Hodges under center. No Juju Smith-Schuster. James Conner also banged up some more. Benny Snell. He had 98 yards on 28 carries against the Bengals a week ago. The Browns, a 2.5-point road favorite. You've gotten more efficient football out of Baker Mayfield these last couple weeks.
Is Pouncey back? He's not back.
No, he should be serving his suspension.
Right, because it got reduced to 2 games. I think this game was included in the 2 games.
I believe that is correct.
So it's going to be more so the fans' interaction than the actual players. That's who's going to be into it, you know. Lots of booze.
Right. I mean, it'll just be loud. I mean, 39 is your over-under, so expect
to get slugged past. B-double-O-S and B-double-O-Z-E. Lots of booze
well,
and booze.
Nicely played. Mid-40s, rain expected. The Browns haven't won here since 2003.
Yeah, that changes.
That's a stat you're going to see a bunch.
That changes today.
Browns on the road for you.
Yeah.
I'll take Pittsburgh's to stop the slide. I don't know how they do it offensively, though. That's the question. James Washington, I mean, these hunting buddies with Hodges, they love the duck calls. I don't know if you saw that photo.
Well, he's next. He's next in line to be one of those fantastic receivers that the Steelers keep drafting every year.
Keep finding guys down the road. Second-year man coming into his own bit by bit. I'll take the Pittsburgh defense to give me a player to here against Baker Mayfield. Final game of this block.
Lady, what is that?
Packers and Giants.
My two former clubs.
All right, we got a hot route. So we've got the Packers 6.5-point favorites on the road against the Giants. No Golden Tate, no Evan Ingram for the Giants. I like Saquon Barkley this week.
Do you?
Well, I don't know that I like him in the game, but I like the fact that he's told all reporters, stop asking me if I'm hurt. I'm on the field and I'm not playing well, so beat it. Which I thought was a stand-up thing to do because it would have been very easy to say, yeah, my hammy's been hurting or, yeah, I've had an ankle or whatever. He just said, stop the nonsense.
I'm here,
stop
man.
The noise. So I'm playing. So either I perform or I don't. Obviously, with Daniel Jones, I mean, he's been a turnover machine. Packers early in the season relying on the defense. Here's a spot where the defense can get right against a banged-up Giants team on the road. Aaron Rodgers, also the last couple of weeks, two of the last 3 weeks, he's been a no-show. And that offense bogged down, but here's a get-right game
well,
against
it's easy
a bad
to disappear.
Giants
it's
team.
Easy to disappear against the Niners.
Well, but against the Niners, you go back to that Charger game
when
they came out here and he called out teammates in a big way in the post game without naming names in terms of their prep and what
name those names
not, what they may or may not have done on a Saturday night. Still waiting for the Zapruder film of all that, but either way, two of the last 3 weeks and the questions of Aaron Rodgers.
They probably were reconnecting with some of their LA loves.
Well, hey, that's all right. You know, everybody needs a little bit of love.
Yeah,
it is
nice.
The holiday season as well. But you know, as Burgess Meredith told you in Rocky, women weaken legs.
That's a myth. They weaken the legs when you're chasing all night. That's the problem.
See, there
that's
it is.
That's the problem. Yeah, when you're out all night looking and hunting it down, that's where you get weak and tired.
There you go. Message and advice. Stop the chase.
Stuff revives you and resets you and recharges your energy. And
reinvigorates you. Yes. Yes, the resurrection, as it were. Packers, 6.5-point favorites on the road. They cover easy, don't they?
Ooh.
They beat them by a touchdown or more.
All right.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right. Daniel Jones is going to give up the ball at least twice today.
Wow.
So, I'm not trying to be mean. Just saying my man's been a turnover machine.
Then, no, be mean. Just own it.
All right. I do like Darius Slayton, though. Rookie wide receiver.
Nah.
I think he's a guy that could eventually become something in that offense. Eventually. Today's not that day. Packers, -6.5. All right, coming up next, we got Eagles and Dolphins, and we've got the Titans and the Colts. Two games left on the slate as we examine week 13 of the NFL. But first, we're going to kick it over to Isaac Lowenkrantz, who's going to update us on the injuries and news and information around the sporting world. What's up, buddy?
Michael and Will, we've got the most Patriots story ever coming up moments from now. You're not going to want to miss this one. We start with Adam Schefter reporting that the 49ers are going to hold out running back Matt Breida for today's showdown against the Ravens because of a sprained ankle. Ravens 5.5-point favorites for that one, according to pregame.com. NFL media reports that the Broncos will start rookie second-round pick Drew Lock today at quarterback against the Chargers in Denver. The Chargers 3.5-point favorites. Lock has been on IR ever since the preseason when he sustained a thumb injury. Now, Michael and Will, Field Yates just reported that, as you know, an illness has swept through the locker room of the defending Super Bowl champion New England Patriots this week. So Field Yates reports that the Patriots did something uncommon in traveling to Houston for tonight's game against the Texans on Sunday Night Football. Would you believe that the Patriots traveled out in a two-plane convoy? One plane for the healthy players and a separate plane for the sick players. That's the most Belichick and Patriots thing ever. And in fact, Michael and Will, Fox Sports Radio has just obtained this exclusive audio from the Patriots' sick plane. Listen.
Yeah, the co-pilot had fish. What did the navigator have?
He had fish.
All right. Now we know what we're up against. Every passenger on this plane who had fish for dinner will become violently ill in the next half hour.
Just how serious is it, Doctor?
Extremely serious.
No wonder Brady went vegan. Anyway,
don't call me Shirley.
That's very good. In college football, Yahoo Sports reports that Rutgers has agreed in principle to hire Greg Schiano for his second stint as their head coach. He previously was the head coach there for 11 seasons at the turn of the millennium. Bruce Feldman reports it's an 8-year, $32 million deal with $25 million guaranteed. In the NBA Saturday, James Harden dropped 60 in the Houston Rockets' 158-111 victory over the Atlanta Hawks in just 31 minutes on just 24 field goal attempts, joining Klay Thompson and Kobe Bryant as the only players in the last quarter century to score 60 points in just three quarters. Michael and Will, I'm going to go have the chicken and not the fish. Back to you.
Well played, Ilo. I'll see you a little later on. Thanks for hanging out with us at Isaac Lowenkron on Twitter for your Los Angeles Chargers.
Was that from Airplane?
Update. Yes, it was.
I think I seen like once.
It's time to revisit it, Will.
Is it?
Yeah, some more one-liners in the lexicon. Some great gags, and well, you celebrate the comedic stylings of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I have a question. Speaking of college football with Schiano,
yeah,
not him, but just in general, like, how do you feel about, you know, I'm not trying to be negative with BC here, but you know, we go 6-6, and we get a bowl game.
Yeah. You get rewarded for mediocrity. But as long as the money flows.
Right.
Right? I mean, Northwestern pummeled Illinois yesterday. Illinois finishes 6-6. It's a great success under Lovie Smith, so they'll go to a bowl game. It's like, all right, we lost that one, but we're still going bowling.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something to it that I get in the playoff era that something's been lost to a degree.
Like, but if you don't have a great season, go home.
You still get to celebrate if you're the fans and alumni and boosters of a program. Depending on the destination, that could be, you know, a nice welcome getaway during the holiday season. Maybe.
No, I went.
You're like no.
I went 500 twice in my life. You know, I was on Pop Warner. We went 4-4. I think Green Bay in 2008. I think we went 8-8. I believe. I have to double check that.
I believe that's right.
Can't remember. And you know what we got? Zilch.
So what you're saying is this is essentially a participation trophy?
The Grinch stole Christmas from us.
Yeah, that Packers team in
this 500 team.
Well, 2008 was 6-10.
Going 500 and going to a bowl game nauseates me.
Does it really?
Mr. Grinch.
Wow, I like that. That's angry. I'm trying to think of it from the fans' perspective, right? Because as a player, maybe you just say, I'm done. We're good, not great. We had our moments, couple of games that got away from us, and you're really having the internal struggles over what should have been maybe a 7-win or an 8-win season.
You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel, Mr. Grinch.
Okay, so we're gonna run Mr. Grinch lines. We're going all Boris Karloff for the rest of the hour.
You're a rotter.
I love it. But,
all right.
But yeah, I don't know. I think there's just, with the playoffs, yeah, some of them become obsolete. Like the fact that you still have like 30 of them.
At least be 7-5. At least, like, you know, I don't know.
They're not going to have enough teams eligible. There's not enough teams with 7 wins for the bowl games and the money that's
right.
out
we
there.
We need these teams. Give me some Who cares if they're 5-7? Throw them in there.
As long as the cash keeps flowing, Will, it doesn't matter. You know how this all works. All right, back into the games.
Lady, what are you talking
about? Eagles and Dolphins.
Philadelphia Eagles, they have their opportunity to get back into the NFC East race with that Cowboys loss. Get right back to 500 as we're talking about him here. No Jordan Howard. Ertz is going to go. You got Jeffrey and Aguilar back in the receiving core for the Dolphins, missing half their secondary. Brian Fitzpatrick still the trigger man. And the Eagles defense playing better ball these last couple of weeks. Eagles on the road, a 10-point favorite. I think it's only a matter of do they cover the number or not.
Right.
Because the door's been opened for them to get back into this playoff picture and Carson Wentz to try to push through. You got Sanders. You've got Jay Ajayi in the backfield and a full complement of receivers for the first time in a while. So for the Eagles, just can you turn it on? I mean,
I think they do.
45's your over-under. I mean, I love me some Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I just don't see it here. Against this team, I think the Eagles, too many weapons. You're not stopping Ertz.
Yeah, I got it. I'm going Philly here.
Yeah, there's really not a whole lot
there's
to add
not,
to
there's
it.
There's not a lot to talk about with that game, right?
Not
there's,
very
there's
sexy.
Not much to say, you know? It's just that game is as cuddly as a cactus.
Nicely done. Devontae Parker, I guess, is the one guy you look to on your Miami side if you want to get cute in your daily fantasy or maybe as a third wide receiver in your fantasy league. All right, let's finish off the slate.
Lady, what
are you talking?
Titans at Colts. Oh,
there we go. Let's finish it off. All right, Ryan Tannehill playing some inspired football for the Colts. No T.Y. Hilton. You still got Jonathan Williams in. Marlon Mack not ready to come back off the hand injury right. Just yet.
Ebron's on IR, right?
Ebron to the IR, yeah. So you've got the injuries mounting up for Indianapolis. And Tannehill playing some really good football of late, auditioning quite brilliantly down the stretch here for a big contract as he rolls up here in Tennessee. We know Mariota is going to be elsewhere, no matter what any report can tell you at this point. They've moved on, I think, psychologically as you go. You had a 42-point explosion against Jacksonville for this team. Last week, you beat the Colts. Week before, you had the blip against Carolina. But you're talking about winners of four of your last five and very much alive with Derrick Henry running the hell out of the ball as well.
You know what I love? So, you know, I have friends and good relationships in the NFL still.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And a good buddy of mine developed over a few years is general manager Chris Ballard. I speak to him occasionally, you know, check in, see how he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And briefly talked about that, you know, the struggles they're going with. And what I love is his mindset, you know. I was like, you know, injuries, man, it's tough. It's part of the game. He goes, no excuses, no explanations. He said, it's our job to figure it out. We got to figure it out.
Right? That
we can't sit here and be like, oh, we lost this guy, da, da, da. It's our job to figure it out.
That's for fans to do and for pundits to bellyache about games missed. Because we're seeing that a lot this week as you get into the holidays and you turn into December, especially if your team is out. It becomes this is how many games guys missed. This is how many games. And we try to put it all in perspective of how the wins and losses apply. But inside that building, we've still got to put together a team.
Right.
We still got to put together a game plan, and you hope at least the guts of your team are intact, right? If you've got that all-world quarterback, that they're upright, which means your front five are still playing well. And for the Colts, that's the one thing that they can still hang their hat on, is at least you have the offensive line that can break free for Jonathan Williams. But is it enough? Can you put up enough points week to week at this point with this wide receiving core and tight end set that's running out for Indianapolis?
I mean, listen, they're still in it. 6-5. You know, you gotta clean up your division and clean up the NFC South. Tough task.
Well, that's why, even though, you know, on paper, for the nationwide, it may not be a sexy matchup, this is one of the most important matchups of the weekend. Right, yeah. In this AFC South. I mean, we talk about what Houston's doing, and we picked that game earlier with New England on the road coming in tonight on Sunday Night Football. But Tennessee very much alive, and with Ryan Tannehill,
playing
it's one of the
well,
great
yeah.
redemptive stories of 2019. And again, it goes back to the discussion we had a little earlier in the show, Will. Sometimes you just need a different set of eyes watching your game film, finding a mistake or finding where maybe there's something to exploit. And I think Ryan Tannehill's found that in Tennessee.
I wouldn't go that far. I just, once again, it's so different when you are playing relaxed. You know, I've been in situations where, you know, I came in the game and not much was expected of me. And I felt no pressure.
To just go out and play.
Just go out and play. You know, he's in a situation where he wasn't the starting quarterback. This was not his team at all by any means. And he's just like, hey, man, I'm just going to go out here and audition for all 32 teams, even, you know, obviously including the one I'm on right now. So that's just what it looks like. And we'll see, you know, like anything. Like right now, no one's really fully on the Lamar because they're like, oh, we need a full body of work. It's like, bro, he's like lighting it up right now. It's like, relax. You know how hard it is to do that? Same thing. No one wanted to crown Mahomes, but I'm like, he just won the MVP.
We're not talking. This is what baffles me and infuriates me sometimes in our profession here behind the microphones is we don't have to worry about what he's doing 5 years from now.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't have to project him against Joe Montana
right.
And the career of Tom Brady or whomever else. Appreciate what he is in 2019. And if Lamar Jackson is not this guy in 5 years,
all right, then,
he'll have given everything he did.
Then we could talk about it.
And he
it,
played
yeah.
well and whatever.
Yeah.
And look, to try to project it, because nobody going from 2018 to 2019 would have thought Lamar Jackson would have made this leap. You thought he was going to be better, right? And we saw shades of it yeah. last year. But they went and they built a team. They went and added a lot of talent to that offense for Greg Roman to work with.
Yeah.
It's not just Lamar. Lamar Jackson's a lot of it, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more that went into building the 11 guys
that
are going out there.
He's why they made all those executive decisions to help
sure.
him and coach. But yeah, I'm still holding on, you know, because, you know, Tannehill, he's playing well right now, but let's wait till, you know, where it's for real his team or he's once again getting back to that role. But
he bought himself another 5 years with a clipboard. I think we can agree with that.
100%, yeah.
All right, who are you taking?
I like the Colts with the upset.
All right, I'm on the other side. I'm going to take the Titans as the narrow favorite here going on the road at Indianapolis. 42.5, the over-under there. So we'll come back here in a minute. We'll wrap up week 13, the upset special of the week and game that you should really be paying attention to on this slate. He's Will Blackman. I'm Mike Harmon. Thanks for hanging out with us here on Fox Sports Radio.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back in. Finishing up our preview week 13 of the National Football League here on Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside Will Blackman. You can keep an eye on Will's Twitter and Instagram at Will Blackman, breaking down to film each week. You and George Iloka doing a little stuff I see as well.
Yeah, we talk a little ball. Talk a little football.
Talking a little football.
Yeah.
A couple of guys that have logged many a weary mile in secondaries across this NFL. So given the insights, at Will Blackman, where you can find that. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Just offering opinions on the world at large. Pop culture, some recipes, because it's the cooking and eating season, which is never really going out of style.
It's the workout season.
Well, that too. I mean, the road to Swole is real, so you got to work it off.
Well, I mean, I still don't have it for lean.
Still working on the lean.
Yeah, I don't know how to phrase that.
No, I got you. You're working to lean. But that's it. We got to figure out what that trademark catchphrase is about that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll get that. I mean, we're enterprising, merchandising kind of guys. There's no question about it. We'll figure that out. So it's a great slate of NFL action today, Will. We're highlighted by 49ers, Ravens, the Patriots, Texans. I'm a bit excited about that AFC South duel just because. And then the battle, the Browns and Steelers, which we talked a little bit about earlier this hour. When you come down to a game like this, 30 guys, five, how much does it carry over? The way the schedule works 2 weeks later, is it just, all right, we're back. Yes, we may hate these guys, but we go back to work. But how much is going to carry over emotionally from something that happened just 13 days ago.
Well, being that none of those guys are playing, probably none.
The fact that I like it. Get the suspended guys out. It just rolls.
Yes. So, yeah, not really. I mean, I don't see this isn't a long thing that's been going on. Now, if it was a fight between, like, the Ravens and Steelers, I could see that. But with this, not really.
Don't really have that history. Nah. And let's face it, the Browns haven't really been relevant from a football standpoint since last year.
Since they got Baker.
Right? So Baker shows up, and then all of a sudden this year, they're the big storyline for a good chunk of the year, and now actually playing some pretty good football as we get down the stretch here. And Baker Mayfield, we talk about turnovers, and it's cliche, but it's an 80% predictor of winning football.
Right.
Their penalties are down, something that they were giving up nearly 1.5 football fields in penalties for a number of the games earlier this season. So we get rolling on that as well. So better football from the Browns. You have them going on the road at Pittsburgh and winning that game as well. If I just gave you the gluttony options, whatever's left over from Thanksgiving on Sunday, what's the game that you tell folks get in front of the TV and strap in for 3 hours?
Oh my gosh, it is the Ravens Niners. Just, are you kidding me?
Just that one, you buckle your laugh seat, at the people yeah. in the rain.
Don't
and
even cook. Just order food and just sit down and just watch great football. By the way, I figured out the ravine to lean.
The ravine to lean. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a logo or two in mind right now. That's good.
There you go. Like that, right?
That's good. We'll okay. merchandise that. All right. By next week, we will have a t-shirt line and workout gear for your holiday. And, well, I mean, everybody makes that New Year's resolution. We'll get it started in December, and you can gift these during the holiday season and make it the family goal to get things rolling. Yeah, Week 13 offers a lot of fun on the schedule, and it's winning time. It's December 1st, and for those teams on the down, sliding out of the playoffs, you know, we're seeing more IRs pop up, and it's time to finish.
Yeah, it is. I just need Cooper Kupp to step up today.
Need some Cooper Kupp back. Well, we'll watch to see if Jared Goff can break that 3-game scoreless streak. He's Will Blackman. I'm Mike Harmon. Thanks for hanging out with us here on Fox Sports Radio.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.